بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم كن لوليك حجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا دليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها.
Inshallah, we will proceed with our second lecture, the topic of which is the trustees of Imam Mahdi ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. And it will be led by Hujjatul Islam wal Muslimin, Mawlana Muhammad Baig. With a loud salawat, please invite him to the stage.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan al-la'in rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. When we live our life, we have certain goals, and we make these goals, and our life is then led to achieve those goals. Everyone has goals, and that's why they live the way they do, and that's why they will do the things, and the way they do the things, because they want to achieve the goal that they have. When we entered the fold of Islam and became Muslim, we sacrificed our goals and let Allah set our goals for us. So now, if you ask a Muslim who has submitted to the will of Allah, what is your goal? You see that he will say, if he is a Muslim, that I don't have a goal. The goal that I have is what Allah set for me. And in order for Allah to set those goals, He makes promises. He makes promises to us. So He promised us some things. And now, based on those promises, our goals are set. For example, He has promised in the Quran. He says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ وَالْكُفَّارِ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ. Allah promises the hypocritical men and the hypocritical women and the kuffar that He's making a promise. He's saying, I'm going to promise you what? Hellfire. I promise you that. So you see, this is a promise that He's making, and by that promise He's setting a goal that this is their destination. The same way, for example, He says, in regards to His message, in regards to Quran, He says, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr wa inna lahu lahafidhun." That we are the ones who revealed the reminder, and we are the ones who will protect it. That's my promise. We're going to protect it. So you know that this is the goal, and this is the set standard of the Quran, that it will be protected. The message will be protected. By whom? That's Allah's job. And He's the one who's going to take care of that. And so, just like that, He made a promise to those who believe. He makes a promise and he says, in that promise is the goal that you should be heading towards. He makes a promise to believers. He says, وَعْدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لِيَسْتَخْلَفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. There's a promise of Allah that to whom? To those who believe and do good deeds. What am I promising? That I will establish you in the land. I will establish you in the earth. Just like I have established those before you. And I will make sure that the religion I have chosen for you will prevail. My friend, Allah made a promise. And with that promise, when He made that promise, now when we look at that promise, how much do we trust that promise is going to be real? Let me ask you a question. In the times that you are living, and that we are living, and when we see that Islam, the deen that the Prophet and the Imams have brought, has become the target of all those superpowers and all those hypocrites and all those kuffar who have allied themselves against Islam and targeting Islam. And this whole Islamophobia is to bring down Islam and to make it look bad. And the situation has become such that we now are afraid to even mention that we are Muslims, that we want to now say or portray ourselves that we are one of you. Many of us, after the incidents that happened, after 9/11, whenever something happens, the first thing they see, is it a Muslim who did it or not? Right. If you see the shooting that happened with the kids, right, all the Muslims are wondering, who did this? Right, they say, let alone if something is blamed on Muslims now. One more thing. So now you see with all of this happening, and you see how Islam is right now in the hiding. Muslims are right now in the hiding. In fact, it's a realization of some of the hadith that says that Muslims will be hiding underneath rocks, trying to hide their identity, not even showing themselves out in front of the people. And now when we see our situation has become such, we are that. Now Allah is saying, on the other hand, what? I promise you, you're going to win. Can you imagine, just right now, can you imagine that Islam will win? Is it possible for Islam to win? Is it possible? Is it possible for the Imam to come back and rule? Can you imagine that? Just use your imagination that, you know, in this situation, can I imagine that all of this is going to change? All of this is going to change, and there will be a time when Muslims and those who submit to Allah are going to rule. And this time it will be believers. It won't be those Muslims who hijacked Islam and ran away with it. It will be believers who are going to rule. Can you imagine that? Is it possible? Is it possible to have an Islamic system right now that you can be under? And if we have it, would you trust it? Is it possible for knowledge to rule over ignorance? Is it possible for an alim to rule over the ignorant? And if he does, would you trust him? Or would you still rather trust the ignorant? My friends, the issue with the promises of Allah and the goals that He has set depends on the trust we have in those promises and in the goals that He has set. It's all about trust. How much do you trust Allah? How much do you really trust His system? How much do you really trust that, you know what, Allah's system works? And that's the only thing that works. Nothing else works. How much do you believe in that? So first of all, let me just see whether we, first of all, to have a litmus test, whether we trust Allah or not. And why should we trust Him? Why should we trust anyone? Or, in other words, how can you trust someone? And I'm not talking about, you know, an Islamic principle that this is a principle and you do this and you'll trust him. There's no such thing. Trust is natural. You cannot impose trust on someone. It has to come from within. I can't say, hey, listen, this is your resident alim, now trust him with your life. It didn't happen with the prophets. Allah said, this is the prophet, trust him in your life. People said, yeah, we don't even know him. You can't impose trust on people. Trust has to be gained. Trust has to be earned. You know that, right? When you live with someone and you live with him for such a long time, and when you have never seen him lie, never seen him deceit, never seen him do something wrong, then you're like building trust in him. You know what? I've never seen him do that. Then if you hear that he lied, he said, cannot be. I've never seen him lie. If you see a person, you know that he will never drink. If you hear someone say that I saw him drinking. You know what? Your eyes can be wrong, but my knowledge of his character cannot be wrong. I have trust. You see, this is trust. The trust is gained over time, right? So now, Allah, when he said, trust him, he didn't just make that claim without setting a precedence for it first. And he set that precedence in each and every one of our life. Who should we trust the most in our life? Who do we trust the most? I trust my father. I trust my mother. They have never lied to me. They love me. Why? And they would never do wrong to me. So you trust them, right? It's through experience you trust them. But if you never knew them, if you never had experience with them, would you trust them? They're strangers. You won't. After experience. So let me ask you, my friends, a question, and through which you answer your own self, should you trust Allah or not? And then we'll get to the point of, do we trust Him or not? But first of all, should we? How old are you? Answer to yourself. You all are different ages. You all are different ages, right? And everyone, there are those people who have lived longer than others, and they have more time that they spent. But just like yourself, and I am asking about yourself right now, tell me, there's one thing that Allah promised. And He promised, and this is, again, there's one thing He promised in the Quran. He says that the one thing I promise you is rizq, your nourishment, your provision, right? Whatever your age is, I want you to look at your own life. Don't look at other people's life. Don't look at the world. Don't look at Ethiopia or Sudan. Look at your own self, just in your own self. And I want you to think about your whole life now, just picture it in your life, and tell me, was there any day or any time in your life that Allah did not keep the promise of rizq? Is there any day that you can tell Allah, that on that day I didn't get my rizq? I didn't get my provision on that day. I have this against you. Can you think of any day like that? In your own self. Don't look at other people, this and that, you know. Look at your own self. He has fed you. He has kept you. He has nourished us. Not just with our age, but even before that, even while we're in the womb of the mother, where the mother didn't know we were being fed, we were being fed. She didn't know when was lunchtime, dinner time. She just knew that you're eating and you're being fed. And she has no clue Allah is doing that. In our life, Allah did it. There's not a day that we can point out to Allah that, Allah, you didn't do it on this day. You didn't do it on this day. We can't. You ask yourself, is there any time you can say that? Well, if there isn't, then now this if Allah has kept this promise all the while, then why would Allah break that promise? Where do we get the idea that Allah will break that promise? He has done it all our life. But you see, if we want to trust someone, who should we trust? Someone who has kept their promise every day of our life, and they have done it every day of our life, they have done it. We should trust him, right? Now, do we trust him? How long has it been since I started speaking? 10 minutes? I don't take long. It's 10 minutes? 10 minutes. All right, a little bit more. All right. And for 10 minutes, I see that you are completely focused on my speech, which is good. All right, I see you. Your eyes are here. And I know when someone is starry-eyed and gazing and is like looking behind me, right, or through me, I know I lost this guy. Right, he's not with me. So the last 10 minutes, you are with me. Right? You are with me. And you're focused. And I have your attention. Now, just now, if you get a text, right, and inshallah, you have your phones on vibrators, right? So you take it out, you check the text, and there's a message. And the message is from your boss. He says 3 words, not I love you, but you are fired. The wrong 3 words you want to listen to, right? So he said, you are fired. Don't come Monday. Right? That's it. You get this message. Now tell me, what's going on in your mind? What's going on in your mind? And I see your expression, and I see that I lost you as an audience. You're gone. Now you're thinking, what's going to happen? My home, my bills, my mortgage, my wife. What's going to happen? You're worried, right? Tell me, would you have the same attention after the message that you had before the message? Would there be a difference in your attention and your focus that you have after the message that you had before the message? Just you tell yourself that. And it's not just you. The guy who's sitting next to you sees you worried. Right? He sees the sweat on your head. He says, it's nice here. What's wrong with you? And then you show him the text. And he sees it. Now, he didn't lose the job, but he's more worried than you are. Why are you worried for? He lost the job. Now, not only did I lose you for losing the job, now I lost him for you losing the job. And now he doesn't have the same attention anymore. To him, that's a greater tragedy and a greater, you know, day of judgment has come for them. Now you look at this, my friends. I'm just saying this example to you to set the example that we know from our life that we should trust Allah because He has kept His promise every day, and there is no day that has gone by in my life that I can say to Allah that Allah, you did not provide for me. And then now when this happens, when this incident happened, just that you lost your job. And now you can't even think straight. You can't even focus. You have lost your goal. You have lost your sight. Why is it? What happened here? Did Allah lose His godhood? Did He misplace His treasure? Did He lose His power? Did He went back on His promise? What happened here that all of a sudden we stopped trusting Him? Just little thing happened, you lost a job, that's it, finished, it's over. Now even if the Prophet and the Imam is speaking, Mom, wait a minute, I need to go and find a job first. Then inshallah I'll come back to you. Really, don't imagine me speaking here. I'm not the one speaking here, for example. If it's the Imam who's speaking here, Imam, I know you're speaking and your words are great, and alhamdulillah, I'm enjoying your speech, but I have to take care of my life. What is our attitude, my friends? We lost our trust. Just about simple things, and we're losing our trust. Imagine, if that is the case, why would Allah give His deen, His message, and the flag of His religion in the hands of someone who will lose trust in Him so fast? Do you think Allah will do that? Do you think Allah will give His deen in the hands of someone whose level of trust is so that if he loses his job, he loses his focus? Now, that's us. Now, when we look at the lives of those that Allah did give His religion to, what set them apart from us? What set them apart from us? What made them so special that Allah thought it right that He can give the flag of Islam in their hands and say, "You be in charge of my religion"? Friends, these are people who, if they lose the whole world, are not going to lose trust in Allah. It is the trust level. How much you trust the promise of Allah. This is in terms of risk. Now Allah promised us what? That He will establish Islam for you. How many of us trust that promise? How many of us have put our tawakkul in that promise that yes, Allah is establishing His deen, Islam is winning. We know that. There's no doubt, Islam is winning. Or you're like, with every other time you see a mu'min asking me, "Will America attack Iran?" What happened? So what if they do? Really, so what if they do? Whose side are you on? You see, my friend, understand this. Just that thought has made us ready to compromise, you know. If it does, what will happen? The world, you know, we'll be finished. You'll be finished. My friend, I think there cannot be a time in the history of Islam that was more vulnerable than the day after Ashura. Cannot be a time. Everyone was sold out. Everyone was sold out. Imam Hussein was the only one who stood up, and he was killed also. And only Imam Sajjad was remaining with some women who had the truth in their hand. Imagine how vulnerable was that position. And they were prisoners. And they were in the hands of those people who are willing to kill them for a few bucks. If Allah saved Islam through that situation, and He has given us that ideology, then why are we losing trust that Allah is going to leave the protection and leave His promise? And friends, I raised this issue so that we can, man, the subject I had was the trustees of Imam Mahdi. And I thought that, first of all, I didn't know what the subject was. So I'm approaching it from the angle that I thought would be useful for us to understand. Right? Who does Allah trust that He can give His deen in His hands? If Allah gave deen in the hands of someone, then it's someone who has a trust level higher than ours. What is he trusting? The promise of Allah. Allah made the promise that, listen, you Muslims are going to win. Islam is going to prevail. Every other religion and every other way of life is going to be overwhelmed and forgotten by people. Not killed. Not destroyed. Every ideology will be overwhelmed. لَيُذْهِرَهُ عَلَىٰ دِينِ كُلِّ. It doesn't mean they're going to kill the people who believe in it. But Islam is going to become so clear that nothing can stand in front of it. No logical person can ever look at it and say this is wrong. Everyone will know that this is right, and either they accept it or not. But the fact is that every religion will be overwhelmed by Islam. This is Allah's promise. It's going to happen. Whether we like it or not, it's going to happen. And Allah says, even if the kuffar or the munafiqeen or mushrikeen like it or not, it doesn't matter. Nowadays, we have to say, even if the Muslims like it or not. It's unfortunate, but we have to say that. Because the way that Muslims are working and believers are thinking, it's like, first of all, we have to prove it to them. Listen, Allah is true in His promise. He doesn't go back. So now when Allah made the promise, He wants you to stick by that promise. Trust that promise that it is going to happen. When it's going to happen, how are we planning? This is the issue that I want just you to reflect on. I'm not going to speak about this. We just have to find out what is our role in this. What am I doing about it? If I know it's going to happen, what am I doing about it? You see, sometimes what happens, right? We forget which team we belong to. You know, so happens, you know, for example, you know, you go to a football game, you wear the wrong jersey there, you get in trouble, right? And, okay, your team is green, or your team is black, we are team black, you know, so we wear black clothes, right? This is our team. Now what happens, sometimes you have to go into a stadium that is not your stadium, someone else's stadium, the opposing team. And they are not too happy when they see your team colors. So what are you going to do? Become a traitor and wear their clothes just to watch the game? Or are you going to go and say that, no, this is my team. I'm going to support my team. No matter what happens, I'll support my team. I'll go there. See, what sort of a person are you? Say that, man, if you wear this dress, if you wear our team colors in that stadium, these guys are going to be harassing us the whole game. Or are you going to say that, no, it doesn't matter what they do, I'm going to go there and show them. This is my team color. I mean, Allah made you a team. He made you an ummah. You are a team. Now, what kind of a team player are you? Are you a team player that's going to side with your team, trying to inspire your team, make your team look good and be good and cheer for them? Or are you going to say that, man, the other team, I saw them playing, they're so good, we have no chance? Like, teammates are looking at you, that you already lost before the game began. And having players like that in the locker room, you know, the kids are like, get this guy out of here. I don't want this guy in my team. Just, you know, you wait outside for us to come out, man. We don't want to hear you demoralizing the team. And this is what happens. Some of our people, they come to you and they speak to you in a way that they demoralize the team spirit. Oh, man, you know, there's no chance we stand, you know. We're done for. These guys, they beat up the last amount so badly. It's better that we forfeit and go back home. That's it? You lost? You know, I mean, listen, guys, you know, we have a great coach who has made a great plan. And we have a star player who's on injured reserve right now. But when he comes back, right, he's going to outshine everyone. So that gives a little hope, right? Yes, we have a star player coming. Right? And that star player is such that when he comes here, he's going to, you know, really make life hell for everyone else. My friends, see, when you are in the team, right, at least if you aren't able to go along with it, don't try to put them down and make them feel bad. This is the team spirit. We are a team spirit. And what happens is that when you are a team, cheer for your team. Because when you cheer for your team, you are known that this is, thank you. We know that this is our team, and we want our team to win. Especially when we have been promised to win. We have been promised to win. And there's no one who can beat us. We know that. So my friends, what sort of spirit should you have? How much should you trust this promise of Allah? He made this promise. You trust Him. Allah does not give the religion in the hands of people that cannot be trusted. If you see the religion, if you see someone in charge of the religion, you see someone who is that Allah gave the religion to, then it means that they are trusted. It's because of their trust level. Allah gives the example of trust in the Quran, and He gives that example through a woman, not even a man. A woman. He gives the example of trust in the Quran. He says, a woman, and I'll teach you through a woman what it means to trust me. And this woman who was left by her husband in a desert, middle of nowhere, no water, no food, with an infant in her hand. And the husband is leaving her. And you know what? She didn't even turn around and ask Ibrahim, that Ibrahim, where are you going? Who are you leaving me with? Where are you going? Who are you leaving me with? There's no water here. There's no food here. There are no people here. How are we going to survive here? She didn't even ask anything. All right, you're going. Because that woman understood. The woman understood. You know what? My husband is going, but Allah is not going anywhere. Allah is not going anywhere. Allah, I trust you. You are the one who provided, not my husband. He was just a means. You are the one who provided. My friends, when we look at, deen, I mean, we don't have a time like that. We don't face a time like that. When Rasulullah left, he left Ali. Ali was more than capable of leading us and guiding us. Every imam, the imam, Ahlul Bayt were left. And after Ahlul Bayt, they didn't just leave us here, they left us with ulama. And said, they will guide you, they will be there for you. We have never been left like how Hajira was left. And hence, if Hajira did not lose hope, Allah is saying, then why are we losing the trust in Allah? That Allah is going to fulfill this promise. And that day will come. How many more examples do we need to trust Allah? How many more examples do we need? My friends, Allah made the promise, He helps. One ayat I'll mention, and inshallah, we will end here since we are behind schedule. One ayat I'll mention about another promise of Allah. Another promise of Allah, He says, Inna lanansuru rusulana walladhina amanu. That Allah says that surely we will help. Our help, I promise this, surely we will help who? We will help our messengers and we will help those who believe. You are a mu'min, Allah's help is with you. How can you not trust the help of Allah? Allah is saying, my help is with you. Where? He says, Fil hayati dunya wa yawma yaqumul ashhad. In two places I will help you. In this dunya and on the day when the witnesses shall stand, I will help you. I will be there. My help will be there for you. My friends, Allah promised us victory. Even though it's looking hard for us right now because our team is weak and we have a losing record. Right? It's looking hard for us right now. Then Allah promised us help. Okay, you know what? You're losing right now. You think you're losing. I'm going to send you help. I'm going to send you some players who are going to make you win. My friends, when you look at those wukala that Imam Ali spoke about, the ulama. Who are these people? They are the very help of Allah that has come to us, who are helping us to gain victory over batil. This is how Allah sends help. I would have mentioned the places how Allah mentions this in the Quran. Surah Yasin, you see that, for example, He sent two messengers. They weren't able to do it. He said, I helped them with a third one. This is how He sends help. He sends help in the form of people who are able to defend His message and give victory to the believers. So if we see someone coming along And he's taking the Muslims and he's taking the message of Islam and bringing victories to Islam, then this is a help from Allah that is coming for you and me. This is the help of Allah that's coming for you and helping me. This is what we need to trust. These are the trustees of Imam Mahdi. That whose trust level in Allah is such that they don't run away when they you see something is lost or something is being lost. No, they have full trust that, you know what, I lose today, but I know tomorrow Islam is going to win. At the end, we'll be the champions. I'll lose a game or two, that's my own fault. But at the end, we are the champions. We are going to pick up that cup of victory and we are going to hold it up, that trophy. We will be the ones who will do that. That is for sure. And that's the attitude we need to live with and we need to work with that. Whether we are here in this conference or anywhere, make yourself such that you know that you're winning. This is Allah's promise. Trust it, and that's how you should live your life also. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path, wisdom to understand his guidance, hasten the reappearance of our imam, make us his helper when he comes. Wa akhirat da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Salawat ala Muhammad.